Hey, hi everyone, and welcome to America Truth Finders. I'm Neil Douglas, and I'm your host for the show. And gosh, folks, I got to tell you something. We have another great show lined up tonight. Our topic tonight is Common Core. What is it doing to your children? My guest, Karen Schoen, and I got to tell you something. I really hope you can get to my website, AmericanTruthFinders.com, because I have all of her info on there. But she is got, I believe it's Agenda21Today.com. I'm going to verify that. Also, AmericaMyName.org. Karen Schoen, and that's spelled Schoen.com. And if you want to visit her on Facebook, I'm going to get her permission first. we can do that. Or if you use Twitter, she's at Agenda21 Enders. Now, and also, I have to tell you, Karen has her own radio show. I'm going to tell you what. It's called American Freedom Watch Radio. Now, this is a call-in show, so please feel free to call in and ask any questions you might have, because as I've always told you, remember, no question is a dumb one. No question is a dumb one. Call your friends. Tell them if they're not listening, tune in on bbsradio.com or americantruthfinders.com. That's, you know, very simple. Channel 1, you'll see my face on the thing. Sorry we're late, but I tell you what, we had a little technical difficulty. But that, you know, those are, that happens. This is the day of technology. Let's face it. Our phone number for you to call in, and I will repeat it a few times, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I will tell you, if you go to bbsradio.com, that's boysamradio.com, you will see that number. Okay. My website is americantruthfinders.com. As you know, from there, I'm done with giving all my information. Karen Schoen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Neil. Wow, what an introduction. yes, anybody can Facebook me. It is karen.schoen.3. I found out there's three of us. Imagine that.
How about that? And,
I never knew that until I started running for office. And then somebody said, are you related? Are you the Karen Schoen that's this? And I said, no. I found out there's three of us.
Did you really?
yes,
I think that's great.
It was quite amazing.
Karen, let me kind of bring our audience, because I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I didn't prepare questions on purpose, because I know how on top of things that you are. Now, there is one issue that I'm a little concerned about that I hope you and I can touch base on, and I think you and I did in this respect. When I called to see if you were available, you know, about the show. And when I mentioned about what is going on with in certain areas of the country, in certain school districts with kindergarten children, because Common Core is K through 12. Am I correct?
Actually, Common Core is cradle to grave. It doesn't stop.
Say that again.
It is cradle to grade education. And what they are doing now is pre-K, and it's all part of the same program, and they don't stop. The idea is the government owns your kids. That's the purpose of it, to train the people, train the parents to give their children to the government.
Karen, didn't Hitler do the same thing? Did he not take the parents out of the picture and take the children?
Well, if you follow history and Agenda 21, that was why I focused on Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is Hitler's plan. It's just an updated version. Nothing has changed. Everything is the same. And the plan was cradle to grave indoctrination. And that's what our educational system has is. And the reason why I can say that so outwardly is that if you go back and you look at before the war, World War II, the Marxists, who were the communists, and many of them also Jewish. When Hitler came to power, his vow was to eliminate the communists from Germany. So these people fled Germany as communists. They weren't focused on the Jewish part yet. He was getting rid of the communists out of Germany. Some of the communists went to Russia. A large portion of them came to America. And you're, as the audience, you can get your pen and write down Operation Paperclip. That was the operation that was used to bring the communists into America and whitewash them by giving them new identities. And these communists were the educators and the scientists in Germany. So they came to America, and when they came to America, they didn't say, oh my goodness, democracy, freedom, liberty, let's embrace that. They didn't do that. They said, let's continue exactly what we were doing in Germany and create the same programs that we had created in Germany. So we now have the exact same programs. Everything is exactly the same.
And it's called Operation Paperclip?
Operation Paperclip. So if you Google Operation Paperclip, you will read about how the German scientists and educators came to America, and they went into our science programs and, of course, into our schools. They became the Harvard professors, and that's why we have case law instead of constitutional law. They also created a school to educate educators and spread their message, and that was called the Frankfurt School. Funny name, isn't that? German. That school then later had a name change because one of the things that we learn about communists is that when the public begins to find out about a program, they don't change the program, they just change the name. So the Frankfurt School morphed into the Aspen, A-S-P-E-N, Institute. And a majority, a large majority of our legislators attend the Aspen Institute, which is nothing more than a global indoctrination camp well-funded by the likes of Bill Gates and George Soros.
Wait a minute, stop a minute. You know, this is a university you're talking about that the politicians go to?
Yes.
Okay.
Aspen, A-S-P-E-N Institute. And
did
the politicians.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You said H or A?
A, Aspen, like Aspen, Colorado. That's
okay, got it, got it. My gosh. So, Karen, keeping this in mind real quick, and because we've all heard of Rhodes Scholars and what Cecil Rhodes was about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But this, to me, this sounds extremely far, far, far more dangerous.
Well, it actually is because one of the things that we discovered when Paul Ryan was running with Mitt Romney was in the graduating class of Paul Ryan sat Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So there is no differentiation between parties. It's all being run by the same people. They go to these institutes. They learn how to be globalists. They learn how to accept, and they learn how to comply. And, of course, they get lots and lots of money for doing that. Otherwise, would it really make sense? I mean, think about this in a sane world for a minute. Put your sane world hat on. You and I are going to go into, you're going to buy something from me. Okay?
Okay.
And we're going to fill out a contract, and I'm going to give you a bill of sale for what you're buying. Let's say you're buying a piece of a car. Okay? And I'm going to sell you this car, and I say, gee, Neil, car is in wonderful condition, and blah, 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 blah. You get in the car. Nothing that I said is true. Absolutely nothing that I said was true. What would you do?
Well, number one, I would...
The car doesn't work. The tires are flat. The engine is missing. So what would you do after you gave me this money on good faith? I gave you a contract saying car is in working order. Nothing works. Nothing is as I said it was. What would you do?
Karen, if people that know me, first of all, I'd lose it. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I'm gonna go back and try to get my money back. And I,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna be out of control. Let me put it that way.
Well, here we are accepting a contract that is a total 100% lie, like Obamacare, that we know is a lie, that we were told is a lie. We were told by Jonathan Gruber that this whole thing was put together as an extreme lie to fool the people because otherwise they wouldn't accept it if it wasn't. And what did the Supreme Court do? They said, oh, we'll accept that lie. How can you do business if I lie to you and I give you a contract? That's why they don't read them. Because everything is what they call outcome-based. The outcome they know about in advance. So they don't have to read the contents because it's irrelevant. They will get their expected outcome. How do they do that? By going to places that indoctrinate them into acceptance and compliance, waving that little carrot that says, you'll stay in power, I'll give you money.
Karen, this is absolutely mind-blowing what you're talking about. Now, don't misunderstand me. Karen, I've done radio for years, okay? And I have done a lot of research of my own through congressional reports, UN reports, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? I have questioned. I've even questioned Bill Clinton, for crying out loud, in person at a press conference. But I'm going to tell you something. What you're talking about right now, I would love to get callers right now to tell me and ask you, first, basically you. I want them to talk to you and tell me if they know that they have, if they've ever heard of what you have just said about Aspen Institute and this whole planned program that you're talking about. And you had Paul Ryan, you know, going to graduating with it doesn't matter.
Right. Schultz.
Yeah, Schultz.
And there I'm using her name only because here you have a Democrat and a Republican sitting in the same
Exactly. And you know what bothers me about this whole thing, Karen, is if I've never heard of this in all the years I have done radio.
Well, one of the things you said, you just spoke to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton had a communications guru with him, and his name was G. Gary Lawrence. And Gary Lawrence was a master wordsmith. And when we first learned about Agenda 21, we came upon G. Gary Lawrence's quote. And he said, Mr. Clinton, if the people spine that Agenda 21 is a UN initiative, they won't accept it. So we'll change the name and we'll call it Smart Growth. That's exactly what they do. They change the name of the program as soon as we find out what it is. There's a document and movie, and it's called The Iron Mountain Report.
Okay, bingo. I am familiar with Iron Mountain, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just going to say I am familiar with Iron Mountain. So go ahead and go on.
Okay, well, in the this was a report that was done for President Kennedy. And when Kennedy finished reading this report, he went to Columbia University. And it was in the beginning of November, and he made the famous speech where he said, "I am concerned that the presidency is being taken over by a secret society, and when I return home, I intend to expose this." Well, of course, he went to Dallas, and we know the history of that. So the evidence is there.
You know, I something. I'm questioning how many of our listeners out there are even familiar with any of what you are talking about. You understand what I'm coming from, Karen?
Yes. And now you have to ask the question that says, why aren't they familiar? Why didn't we hear about this? And then I go and I reference Michelle Obama. And what did she say when Barack became president? "We will have to change our history." Well, they didn't come out and change the history by saying America fought the War of Independence from France. That would have been foolish. But what they did was they changed the history by omission. And when you leave things out, they're often forgotten. So by not having political science as a class, by no longer teaching American history, because American history now starts in 1865. I didn't know if you knew that. But that's what the high schools teach. And by omitting the facets of American history and omitting the literature period pieces of that time, our children are clueless. One of the things that Common Core does, by the time the child is in high school, eighth grade, they're leaving junior high and they're going into high school, literature, which is so important to show period pieces, to help structure your character, to help formulate morality, well, literature is no longer taught. 30% of the reading material is literature. 70% of the reading material are instructional manuals.
Oh, no.
How Karen, did I Karen, learn?
Oh, my. You know, let me ask you this. When you say that they're manuals, so, you know, we already know they're not teaching any history of the United States. You know, founding fathers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, you
they're
mean
not,
those
they're not, they're not very teaching
old white men who were slave owners. That's how they're described.
That's, you know, that's what I think, and I'm sure our listeners are concerned about, because let me say something. If we look at today's actions in our country as to what's going on, this country has become divided so fast in the last about 7.5 years or whatever it might be, than I have seen it probably since, what, 60s?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, think about that. The children of the 60s, those haters of America who hated America and were focused on the Vietnam War, they're running our country. Those are the people who are running our country now.
Oh, I know. Anyway. I look at what today's happening, and I fear for my children, my grandchildren, you know, anybody, you know what I'm saying, that's in my future, and I hope and I'm sure that our listeners are feeling the same pain of fear, because the people right now that are doing what they're doing, and indoctrinating the kids, will be leading their country. My children, or even my grandchildren's generation.
Exactly. That's exactly what has happened. And now the children of the 60s are in charge of the country. And one of the things the children of the 60s learned, and I was one of them, we learned really good how to eliminate fact and replace fact with visual programming. facts are boring. You know, it's real, it happened. But it's really, really cool when you go and see somebody shooting somebody visually, or it's really cool when you're told that this is going to be the colors of the year and all the movie stars are going to tell you how to dress.
Oh,
that's
God.
Very important. Is it important to learn about your rights and freedoms? No. When you don't know your rights and freedoms, what happens? You're willing to give them up because you don't know you had them to begin with.
Karen, let me throw something at you. This last court, Supreme Court decision, just the other day.
Which one?
not the health care.
On gay marriage?
Yeah. Okay. Regardless of anybody's position, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be a judge, okay, number one. But here's my concern. We know we have 535 representatives, or what are supposed to be representatives, in Washington, D.C., to make rules and regulations, and because they know what's better for me than what I do for 330-some-odd million people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm adding to that, and I want your opinion real quick. I'm not going to take up your time because you're the guest. You know, we also have the president who can write executive orders, and then you have the vice president who goes out and makes phony speeches and whatever for the president. But on the Supreme Court, we have 9 people, right?
Correct.
All it takes is 5 people to override those that might be against a bill, or even in favor of one. Okay, let's just eat with you where it goes. My thinking is, no, that's not true.
Well,
it is one person, and that's that 5th vote. So one person, in my thinking, when it comes to our laws that are taken to the Supreme Court, that one person is telling the 330 million people how we're going to live. What's your opinion?
Well, that is absolutely true, but that is not the job of the Supreme Court if you read the Constitution. They're not supposed to make law at all. What they are supposed to do is interpret law, and what they are doing is making law. And to me, what has happened over the last 6 years, is that very slowly, both the legislative branch and the judicial branch are giving power to the executive branch that the executive branch does not, should not, never have, because the minute you have all that power focused in one branch, you no longer have a representative republic, you have an authoritarian tyranny. And that's where we're headed. As they continue to abrogate their power to the executive branch. And the sad part is that's our fault for not screaming and not electing new people and not making demand. And then I go back to, why is that happening? And there's only one common denominator. Every American, one thing that every American has. And that is an education. So all of this is coming from their lack of education. And they have no idea. They have no clue. And they're being paid off. I believe they're being paid off, or they're being blackmailed, or there's too much technology out there. I mean, who knows what you did when you were 12 years old? You know, that was evident with Romney. They had to go back as far as when he was in college and he did something stupid. We all did something stupid when we were in school.
I've done enough of it.
That's true. But that there's 2 things that legislators need. And one is money and the other is power. And if you threaten them with loss of power, they'll listen. If you threaten them with loss of money, they'll listen. Well, we the people are not threatening them with either. We're giving it to them. So we are giving them power. A person can only have power over you if you give it to them. You could say to me, Karen, I want you to jump off that high diving board, and I could say, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, if I look at that high diving board and I say, I'm scared to death, I'm never going to do that. But I say to you, Neil, you have power over me, and I'm going to do that, even though I think it's wrong. Shame on me for allowing you to guide me to do something that I think is wrong.
You know, now, this is, you know, I know I've kind of strayed you away from the Common Core issue, but really, in the sense, we haven't strayed, because this is going to be the outcome of what our children being taught through the Common Core program. They're going to be taught to do exactly the same thing that you're talking about.
Common Core is, or education is, two components, and the fallacy right now, and we know, you know, the regime, I call them the regime because I don't know what else to call them, because they run both parties, so there's no political parties anymore. Let's call them the regime. The regime realizes that if they can divert attention away from their real goal, they will accomplish their real goal. So what is the goal of Common Core? The goal of Common Core is training. How can you train somebody to do something they may or may not want to do? The only way you can do that is to modify their behavior. So Common Core is a training program based on behavior modification. I want you, Neil, to do something, and you say, I don't want to do that. It's against my belief. It's against what I think. It doesn't make sense. However, if you stick your finger in the socket, you're going to get shocked. I'm going to shock you. Until you say, okay, I'll listen. I'll be good. I'll get my reward. So education has been now based on what Pavlov and Skinner created, which is behavior modification through training. And what they do is, it is policy, reward. Policy, reward. Policy, reward. And the testing is a mechanism that just checks to make sure that you're following that policy. So they have us focused on a test which doesn't educate anybody. What we should be looking at is, what the heck are those kids reading? And how did they take that away from the parents? They're eliminating books, because they have the parents convinced that if you don't need books. Books are too expensive. We're going to put everything on the computer. Well, what do the parents see if it's on the computer? Nothing. Why? Because you can't take the computer home. You're not allowed to take the information home. You're not allowed to bring your lessons at home. You're not even allowed to discuss it at home with your parents. And if you do, it is so confusing that your parent will look like an idiot, because they'll never be able to explain it the way the teacher did, and therefore the school has accomplished the goal of making the parent look like a jerk, so that the school has the answers, and then the school becomes the parent.
Karen, let me ask you about that, because you've hit it on the head. I already know that. The nail has just been driven harder, okay? So basically, you know, first of all, I do believe that they've kind of sold this idea about because of Chinese math or whatever. I don't have a clue if that's the real reason or not, and I don't care. My concern is what is happening to our children. But let me step back a minute and ask you this. When Common Core is introduced to a school district, or a state, however, I don't care. Whoever puts it in charge, as this is the way it's going to be, because Nebraska right now has a lawsuit going against Common Core, and I believe it is with you, the state superintendent. I'm not sure, but anyway, I did in the article. It is definitely, and that just happened. That's just happening just in the last recent few days or whatever, where Nebraska is suing because, you know, but their main concern is about the Chinese math thing. Now, let me ask you, Karen, because this to me is extremely, extremely concerning. Number one, the parents were not given a choice, right?
Correct.
Okay. Secondly,
no one was given a choice.
I say that again?
No one was given a choice.
Okay.
We were given a choice of A or B, both provided by the government. So you had
okay, so the teachers weren't even really given a choice, am I correct?
Correct.
Okay.
No one was given a choice.
Okay, now that's leading up to where I want to be. Because, Karen, if the school system or school districts or whatever are, you know, because that's where, on our last show that you and I did, you mentioned that Agenda 21 starts in the local community, right?
Yes.
And works its way up. So, if I've corrected my thinking, and I think I am, but anyway, you can correct me if I'm wrong. So, with this Common Core situation, let's take a school board. They'd be basically told, this is it, buddy. You're going to do it. Am I correct? I mean, you don't have a choice, or, you know, your funds are going to get cut off by the state or the federals or whatever the case might be. Am I correct in that thinking?
Yes, you are. And even if you're, like in Florida, the state constitution says that the local school board has the choice of curricula. Okay? So, theoretically, my local school board that I elected has a choice to be able to say, we want to teach real American history in our schools. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't. Why can't you? Because the standards dictate what the curricula is, because the tests have to match the standards, and the standards won't match the curricula. So therefore, your children would never be able to pass the test and would not be credited for graduating. So you really have no choice.
I'm going to ask you this.
Everything is aligned together. Everything is connected.
Okay. I don't, you know, I'm always interrupting you, and I'm sorry. But you are so interesting and so informative that like I said, I didn't prepare questions. I didn't have to. Not with you, because you are so knowledgeable. I want to, first of all, give our number out. It's because I do want to hear from parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. I don't care that have children that are involved with Common Core. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I'm going to tell you what, I'm worried. I'm sure that some of our listeners out there, if not many of them, are worried too. Karen, I'm going to ask this question. Since we know that it is K through the rest of your life, correct me if I am mistaken and wrong. I read, and I can't tell you the state, and I apologize for that, that they are teaching kindergarten children, and I don't want to get graphic because of, you know, but they're talking to them children about sexual things that of several different ways, and what even what babies and how what it looks like to make babies and what it, I can go on and on, but I think you get my drift. My
yes.
Point is this. Is there any truth to this, that kindergarten children are being taught this kind of stuff?
Yes. Yes, there are. And yes, there's plenty of proof, and there's even the curricula, which I have in my hand, called the Sexual Education K-12. Now, that sounds horrible, and it is. And let us never forget that. But you got to understand the reason for it, because you can't fight it unless you understand the reason. The people who created this, especially Bill Gates, believes that the planet is overpopulated. Now, does he really believe that there's too many people? No. What he believes is that there's too many people for him to control. In 2004, Bill Gates signed an agreement with the United Nations and Microsoft to create Worldwide Common Core. That's where it comes from.
And from Bill Gates?
It comes from the United Nations. It comes from UNESCO. You can Google that. It's called UNESCO-Microsoft Agreement, and it's also on Agenda 21 Today Education website. I have the whole agreement there. Bill Gates signed an agreement with the United Nations that he would provide the technology for their Worldwide Common Core. Now, what they believe is that they cannot populate the planet anymore because it becomes too hard for them to control. So how would you create a situation of non-population? Well, if you take love out of sex, one of the main rewards of having sex is that two people love each other and want to create children that right. they can nurture and continue. And if you take that love component out of sex and sex just becomes sex for having sex, you're helping decrease the population. So that's number one. Number two, when you look at the history of these people, and this is even sicker, a large portion of them are involved in child pornography, pedophilia, and homosexuality. And that goes back to the Roman days. So in order, again, to stop the population growth, one of the easiest ways to do that is to promote gay and lesbian and everything else that stops the couple from having children. So understand what their motivation is. Now, what are they doing? Well, they're starting to sexualize the kids at an early age. I don't know if you remember what went on in the winter on Panama City Beach. And I'm bringing that up because this was on the news, and Sean Hannity did a whole big thing about how they were having gang rape on the beach and nobody
yes.
did anything.
Yes.
Well, nobody said why. Why? How could you do that? And how could you violate somebody? And because that's what they teach in school. When you take out what was one of the closest things that a parent has with their child is teaching them about sex and love and how important it is to nurture the child and what a joy it is to be able to have a fulfilling relationship that results in a child. And how important it is to nurture and care for that child. When you take that component away, sex is just sex, and who gives a crap? And that's what they do. And that's what's going on, and you are 100% right. They are starting that in kindergarten. And if yes. they learn that, if you start at an early age, by the time the kid is in in college, somebody raping somebody else is not a big deal anymore. When was that not a big deal? It was not a big deal when we stopped valuing human life, and school takes away the value of human life. A child, a person, feels worthless, inadequate, and they must then fulfill their need for me right now, this minute. I have to have it because I want it. That's what they're taught in school. And sex just becomes another component of that.
You know, that's almost, oh my, you know, I don't know, Karen, I'm lost for words. And I'm never lost for words, trust me. seriously, I'm not. But,
That's why I believe, and that's why we spent so much time on Agenda21Today.com, because if you are aware of what they're doing and why, it makes it easier to fight the battle. Because right now, what are we fighting? We're fighting fragmented battles all over the place. They're all scattered because we do everything in soundbite. nobody puts anything together anymore. And that's why it's so important to understand why. Why is this happening? Because the only way you can make a change is when you understand the cause. What are you fighting? You know, you're going to put a Band-Aid on a cancerous tumor because somebody's bleeding? Wouldn't it be a better idea to find out why they're bleeding?
Makes sense to me.
So when you eliminate that, and then to make it even worse, so we have two things going on at the same time. One, we're giving our kids misinformation, and we're calling that training. That's what the school is now. School to work, isn't it wonderful? Your child will be trained for a career. That sounds great, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, that's education. No, that's not education. But that's what the populace is being told that education is all about. Education is all about training. You have to learn how to press that button in the IBM, whatever. You have to be trained in order to be able to be that mechanic. You have to be trained to be that doctor. But wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to think first before you get trained to do anything? And what are we eliminating? We're eliminating the skills that enable a person to think. They call this outcome-based education, and today we live in an outcome-based society. Now, what does that really mean? We have an outcome-based economy. Oh, isn't that wonderful? What does that really mean? It means that the end result is determined before you even start. So today we're taking a kid, and we're saying to that kid, you're going to be working on the computer, and you're going to be answering these series of questions. And built in that, those series of questions is an algorithm. And when you use keywords, that algorithm changes and pushes you in a direction that maybe you don't want to go in. Maybe you're on, you know, you're working and you're answering those questions, and you're answering the questions that you love. You are wonderful in mechanics, right?
Okay.
If you wanted to be, you wanted to be a veterinarian because you really like animals.
All right.
The computer said you have the component that says you have to be now a mechanic. That's what we're doing to the kids. We're determining what their life has to be before they even enter into their lives. So, of course, they become frustrated and bored and upset and don't feel that they have any self-worth and don't feel that they have any control over their lives, because they don't. We're taking that control away. What happens when you take something away? It gets replaced by something else. Well, if you're taking away, let's use this one, if you're taking away the value of human life, and human life then becomes a non-thing because there's too many humans anyway. Yeah. So who cares about another life? Did you ever listen to the regime talk and they say, oh, it's only one person, because they don't value individual human life. You are only as good as what your group can do. And if you're not part of that group, you're not part. Who cares? So you have no value to your life. You have no self-worth. And somebody is telling you what you're going to be when you grow up. Well, what are you going to do with your life to fill your life if you don't want to go in that direction? What do you fill it with? You fill it with sex. You fill it with drugs. You fill it with bullying. You fill it with anything. Anything that will give you that grasp of a moment of pleasure. Because you're not getting pleasure out of anything rewarding. One of the things that I used to do when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to be a teacher from the minute I can ever remember. And when I was in the fifth grade, I'll never forget this, I used to have a class in my girlfriend's basement, and all the kids would come in after school, and they were in the third and second grade, and I was in the fifth grade, and I was a teacher. I was teaching them. Well, what if I was told, you can't be a teacher, you have to be a hairdresser? How would I have been in my life? getting up every morning hating going to work, being angry that I'm doing something that I really don't want to do. That anger has to come out someplace. So where does it manifest? It manifests in psychotic, sociopathic behavior patterns because you don't care about anything else.
Karen, I don't mean to cut you short, but we've only got about a minute left. I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. Let me ask you this, and I don't normally do this, okay? But I'm going to ask you to check your calendar. My next show will be the 12th of July, okay?
Okay.
I would love to finish this discussion because I got to tell you something. I don't think we've covered near enough territory. So if you are available, would you kindly email me and let me know that if you are available so that I can, you know, make sure. And I'm sure that my audience is thinking the same thing. We've got to realize what's really happening because the parents have no say. What's going to happen from here on out?
Correct. That's the purpose of education. Eliminate the family.
Okay. So I would love to do another show with you.
It would be my pleasure, and whatever I'm doing on the 12th, I will eliminate, so I can tell you, yes, I will be happy to do that. Yes.
I'm making sure that is right on the 12th. I believe it is. If it's any different, I will contact you, but... and I'll confirm it, okay? I got 30 seconds left to go. Karen, I can't thank you enough. And I know I interrupted you a tremendous amount, but let me tell you something. You filled me with so much information that I wasn't even aware of, okay? So let me just say this for you. You are a wonderful guest. I'm gonna verify the 12th, and I'm going to thank you so much, and we've got to continue this. This is just far too important to ignore, and I know there's a lot of serious things out there. Karen, I want to thank you. You have a wonderful night, and I will, you know, we'll get together by email, okay?
Sounds wonderful, and thank you again for having me
on. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Neil Douglas, this has been American Truth Finders, and I think we've run out of time. Have a good week. God bless.